So now let's go to the next Nakuda. So again, I gave you, I'm presenting to you, I didn't address every single question because, again, I'm giving you the tools how when you, when questions come up, to put into a category, category 1, category 2, category 3, category 4, category 5, and then you have the mahalach, how to approach the questions. Again, I hope that you're going to be, when you hear anti-tcheles remarks and shirim, that you'll be approaching it with seichel yashar, and I hope that you're doing the same thing with these shirim. They're approaching it with seichel yashar. I'm not here to try to brainwash anybody into mahalach. I'm presenting the facts, and I want you to think about it on your own, to process it on your own, to use your own seichel yashar. How do you feel? And I would hope you do the same thing with when you hear anti-tcheles shirim and publications. Listen to what they're saying, but use your seichel yashar. So with that, I'd like to go on to a few nakudas on some of the brought up in some of the anti-tcheles publications. Now again, the anti-tcheles publications were a phenomenal thing. I think it was a big bracha in a way to the whole sugya of tcheles, because the Rav Chashmaitzer that came out of it, every time they dug up any question whatsoever, it came out pilpulim and chidushim. It was unbelievable. So even if we're going to say that the actual svarim, to say that they're useless in terms of disproving the Murex, but they definitely did have a te'eles in the Rav Chashmaitzer of it. So there's one conscious out there was based on two nakudas. I'm not going to say can trace them by name, but they're based on two mistakes. The first one was basically he understood tcheles as being a color, not a dye, and then he went through all the places in the Tanakh where it was convenient for him to use it as a color, he used it as a color, and whichever place is convenient to use it as a dye, he used it as a dye. And that's how he would try to answer like two of the simanim, or three of the simanim in the Murex. So even if you're going to, even if Lashita Sai, you're going to take off a couple of simanim, you still have hamoin of proof left that the Murex is the right one. But anyways, I think it's a distortion of the usage of, first of all, the word tcheles. And second of all, it's unfair to go ahead and use it at your own convenience when you decide one and when you decide the other. And then a lot of the kuntres was basically based on his maskana was based on the fact that he felt that doim aliyah means blue. Okay? That was his, because he felt that was, when it says gufay doim aliyah, he felt that it means blue. So Mela, he didn't like the fact that it matches in the three ways that we said exactly. He felt that means blue, so therefore he eliminated tcheles because of mirex, because of that. There's another kunshis out there, or two, that are very bothered by the fact that the mirex gives purple. It doesn't give blue, it gives purple. Now again, first of all, we say the purple, we said in the first year, the purple is an unstable color. It comes out. You have to do tachbulis to keep it, and the purple shouldn't come out. And even if you don't want to say it, the fact is the murex gives blue. And that's a fact. You know, you can't disagree with that fact that the murex gives blue. And besides, if he's not happy with that, so I'm sure if Mordechai Honig...
What color do you call the citrus thing you're wearing? What is that?
It is blue.
Blue.
Yeah, it is blue. Violet is...
I don't know what color.
Yeah. If he's not happy with that, I'm sure Rabbi Mordechai Honig would be more than happy to order on his behalf, to order for him Murex trunculuses that give straight blue. I'm sure he'll get straight to his door and he could make his own tcheles from that one, because as we said, there are Murex trunculuses which give straight blue, and so that kuntres is right now nothing to be talked about. Now there's another kuntres out there which is based, the entire kuntres is based on a single error. One major error. It's an entire kuntres based on that it doesn't shtim with the Rishayim. That the Murex trunculus doesn't shtim with the Rishayim. For example, the Ramban and the Ritva and the Ra'ah and the Shita L'Ran will say that the reason why you're not chayiv on extracting the blood out of the chilazin for shechita, for netilas neshama, is because it's gufa is atum. Now, we know that the murex tranquilus is not the reason. It has a separate dissect. That's why. Like Tesis. So you see that the Ramban and the Ra'ah and the Ritva and the Shitla Ran all held that the murex tranquilus is not the right source of tchelis. That was his, like that. And he goes through his whole country with these, like, basically these types of questions. So now, first of all, okay, like we spoke about the other day, what's he going to say? Taisa says one thing, and these are trying to say the other. They both had the chilaz in their hands, and they're both describing it. And Taisa said that the chilazin has down, which is mifkar pakeh, a separate dissect. And they were looking at the chilazin and saying that no, it doesn't have mifkar pakeh. And then what? So Mela, since they're the rive, so we're going to be machriya and say that Taisus is chilazin was not the chilazin and their chilazin was the chilazin. So what does he want? What does he want from these ishainim? We know that one of them is right and one of them is incorrect. Right? And like we spoke about then, if you can go with Shikul Hadas, Pashtus, you would say, it's more likely to say that Taisus was correct and the other ishainim were incorrect, simply because Taisus, first of all, Taisus doesn't say, Lamaisa doesn't say Yesh Leimer. It sounds, again, I'm not going to put on anybody, but to me it sounds like he's saying Imtersidia. He's not saying Yesh Leimer that the dam is Mifkad Pocket, like he usually does when he says in the Kimta. He says, Heshav Remeim Tam, that the dam is Mifkad Pocket. And anyways, the Rishonim have a good reason why they wouldn't want to say like Taisus. Because if they, as long as they didn't know what it was like, they wouldn't want to make up that it has a separate dissect. It sounds a little strange. And if, especially if they held that the svara of Gufay Atum applies to the Murex, applies the svara of Gufay Atum applies to this din of the Gemara, then you don't need to say that as a separate dissect. You could just say the fact that it's Gufay Atum. So they didn't say that the Murex doesn't have a separate dissect. They just could be they didn't know. Whereas for Tesis to go ahead and make up that no, the Tzchelis does have a separate dissect, that's a bigger stretch. So again, that's besides the point. But the point is, how do we address Rishonim when it comes to the Murex? What's the mahalach of addressing? Again, we've proven that the Murex from Chazal, we've proven beyond the shadow of a doubt that the Murex is a source of tchilas. So now, how do we go about from the Rishonim? The Rishonim, yes, that Nipiyam Anuchayim, that we go with the Rishonim, we say that they saw way more than we see. Their minds work way more powerful than our minds work. Let's give a dogma. If you have somebody who's standing on the top of a mountain, somebody standing on the bottom of the mountain, who could see further? The one who's on top of the mountain could see way further than the one on the bottom of the mountain. But if you were to go give a letter to the person on the bottom of the mountain, who could read the letter better? The one on the top of the mountain or the one on the bottom of the mountain? Of course, the one who's holding in his hand. The Rishonim are on the top of the mountain. They could see way further than we could see. Their seichel works way more powerful than our seichel works. However, when you hand us a chilazin and we're looking at it, so then, yeah, what were the Rishonim using? They were using their powerful seichel to the best of their abilities and to the way more than we can use to understand what the chilazin was like. However, when we see something in our hands, ein machishim es hamuchash, we can't deny what we see. And it's not me, the Chassam Sefer says this already. He says that if you see something in Metzias, and you see that it's a certain way, then it's machriya bein harishonim. It's a machriya. That means you say, you look at the Metzias, the Chassam Sefer is saying, you look at the Metzias, it's talking about by an Ido, by an Isha. You look at the Metzias and you see the Metzias is one way, so you have to say, Behechrich, what could you say that the Rishonim didn't know it? And again, is it a pagam in the cover of the Rishonim to say that they didn't see the Murex? They didn't see the Chilazin? It's b'chol not a pagam in their cover. One iota.
There's a Ramban. It says, argues on the Rashi on the weight of them.
Yeah, the Machzah Shekel.
And then the Ramban comes there to Yisrael. And he says he found the Machzah Shekel and exactly like Rashi's weight.
Right, right. You see the Ramban on his own, right. The Ramban on his own shot says that we were Machriya based on archaeology. We found the Machzah Shekel and he brought it the way he did it. He brought it to a guy to read the inscription. He couldn't read what it says. He brought it to a guy to read it, and the guy read it, and he relied on the guy's reading it, and he said, "Ah, I see that Rashi was right. This is the way the Machzor Shekel was like Rashi." Yeah, we find by the Smag, the Gabbai Tefillin, he says, "You don't need to be machmer and Tefillin shall Rabbeinu Tam to see their pashas of Rabbeinu Tam." Why? Because they found on the kever, the bima on the top of the kever of Yecheskel Navi fell over, and they found Gonos there, a pair of tefillin, with the Seder Pashas like Rashi and the Rambam. So he said that you don't need to be worried about Shittas Rabbeinu Tam. So again, you see that you can be machriya, like a certain mahalach, you can be machriya, not like one of the Rishayim, because of a Metzias, because that's what you found. Yishenim was based on Chachma, so it doesn't give a mashal like a mashal. If you're a Shiva, you're standing outside and you're in the room with somebody, right? And your Shiva doesn't know who's in the room with you, but you know who's in the room with you. So you say, it's Pagam the Shiva, you know. I know who's in the room. He's trying to guess, try to figure out who's inside the room. You know, and I know. You know, I know better than him. Of course not. It's because I'm in the room with him, so I see him, so I know. Fine. So what's the mahalach to take with the Rishayim? The mahalach is to try to understand the best ability where they came from. What was their thinking? Where would they come from? And then you could try to figure it out. But again, if we find that the chilazon doesn't match up with the way they're explaining, but if we've proven that the murex is taka the right source, then you could say that they didn't see it. They didn't know. For example, the Gemara of Samamonim. It says that you put into the Yaira Sammanim. What were these Sammanim that you put inside the vat? Was it a reduction for vat dyes? Or was it a mordant for mordant dyes? Rashi clearly seems to understand that it was a mordant. So that's a kakasha, because Rashi says it was alum. What you put the Sammanim is, he gives an example, it's alum. Alum is a mordant. It's something which connects one thing to another. So you see from Rashi that it's a mordant dye. Yeah? And Taisis also seems to learn that it's a mordant dye because he learns that the Sammanim are giving a color also to the mordants do change the color of the dye. Depending on which mordant you're using will change the color of the dye on the wall. So Taisis and Rashi both seem to understand that we're talking about a mordant dye. So you can ask Akasha. So you see from Rashi held that the mirror is not the right source of Tchilas because Rashi held that it's a mordant dye. And the murex is a vat dye. You say, no. What do you mean? Rashi was assuming that it's a mordant dye because every single dye in the world, basically, that sticks, is a mordant dye. He assumed the pashtus was, definitely the pashtus was that any given dye would be a mordant. And if the Gemara is saying sammanim, the assumption is that it's mordant. I don't even know if Rashi knew how to dye with vat dyes. The only dye that he definitely didn't have access to the dyeing with the murex. And the only dyeing with vat dyes was indigo. Again, like Rashi, it's another one that Rashi learns that, what's the color of the dam of the chilazin? Rashi learns that it's blue. The Ram says it's shachar kidyoy. Right? So Rashi says that it's blue. Rashi holds that the murex is not the right source of chilas, because it's blue. The murex's blood is not blue. It's not blue. Inside, it's not blue. It's not blue. When it comes out, it's like a purple. So now, what are you saying? You're saying that. So where did Rashi come from? They got the murex that the chilazon dam is blue. Pashtus, because every dye doesn't change. When you take out the dam of chilazon and you're dyeing with the dam of chilazon, when did we ever find a dye that switched over in the middle? That started out one color. And all of a sudden switched over in a different color in the middle of the process. And then the final product will be different than the original color. So Rashi assumed, because the color of Tcheles, the dye of Tcheles is blue, so Feshteisach, the Dam HaChilazin was blue, just like the dye is blue, because things don't just change. Now, what's the Metzias? The Metzias was is that, yes, a very interesting occurrence happens by Murex that Rashi would have never dreamed of. That it starts off purple and it switches over to blue. So, where did Rashi come from? We can assume where Rashi came from. Rashi, the Rambam, says that Shachar Kedyoy, right? It's Damas Shachar Kedyoy. Again, we ask, where did the Rambam come from? And so is it Dama the Chilos and Shachar Kedyoy? So we'll get to that in a minute. The first question is, where did the Rambam come from? The Rambam didn't crack open Chilzoinus. Right? It was Nignaz before his time. So where did the Rambam get from that it was Shachar Kedyoy? We don't know. We have no idea. Rav Herzog claims that he knew it was the Murex, and he got it from Aristotle. And Aristotle, the way that it, in the original Greek form, it says that the Murex's dye was dark. In the Arabic form, in the translation which was given to him, which was what the Rambam had, was a printing mistake, and it said black, like a black, which is a dye black, a dark black, a black black. So therefore, based on Aristotle, he assumed that the dam achilazin was black. Possibility? Maybe yes, maybe no. I don't know. That's one possibility. But other than that, we have no clue where the Rambam came from. Yeah, if you want, I can show it to you. Yeah. So the question is, where did the Rambam come from? Meaning the Murex, is the Murex dye black like ink? Dark black like ink? No. That when you take it out, it's deep purple. Very, very close to black. Now, what's the hagdara of black like ink? Maybe it's called black like ink. Yeah, it's a very concentrated purple. A very concentrated purple. If you look at, you can take a pen, for example. What color is the ink of the pen? It's blue ink. But concentrated, it looks black. Right? So it's very dark. It's very, very dark. Is it as concentrated as the ink in this ink pen? Don't know. Could be. But regardless, you have to know what the source is to know what Diyai is, what he meant by Diyai. We know that Shachar could be referring to a blue. We find that in the Bir Halacha, in Hilchas Tefillin, by the Ritzuis. He says that he calls Shachar. It says blue is Bechlal Shachar. It's something that you see in Chulin. Shachar Kedyoy would be something deeper, something more black than just plain Shachar. The question is, again, where did the Rambam get this from, that it was Shachar Kedyoy? What was the context? You have to know, so there's another, there are pshat on the other side of this pshat that it's referring to when it's dried, after you the way they used to, they would dry it out and then they would transport it, would be a powder, and they would reconstitute the powder and dye with the powder, and in its reconstituted form, it's black, and I've seen the powder, and it's like mamish black, black as black can get. So that could be, all these again, possibilities, one way or other. But again, until we have a source in Chazal, which is on an equal level as the rayas that we have, it's not a kasha. And yes, I don't know how the Rambam definitely didn't see the chilazin. He definitely didn't see the dam in his hand and wasn't describing to you what he's seeing.
Why it's not possible the Rambam saw the
dam? Because they didn't have, what? Because yeah, they didn't have chilas. He writes that he didn't have chilas in his times. Okay. So now we're gonna go to some other questions. The question is, do we need a Messiah? Do we need a Messiah for Tchilas? So in this, we have a Deya from the Talmidei Brisk, that the Talmidei Brisk say over B'Shem Leves HaLevi, that you can't do anything, you can't make no new mitzvahs without a Messiah. We know a sheep is a sheep, because our Tata told us a sheep is a sheep. So Mela, you can't be mechadish anything new. Now we have a girsa from the Beis HaLevi, the Redziner, if everybody takes their paper, you see in the Ma'ar Mokim, the Redziner, in the time of the Redziner, the Beis HaLevi had somebody, dictated to somebody to write a letter to the Ritziner. And this is what the letter said. The Ritziner quotes in the beginning of his Sefer, and again, this is in the time of the Beis Halevi. He writes, "Bezeh Loshen." Right? Mehem, Mehem Hagayved Bris Delita Sheyichya Masa Kol Taimei V'Nimukai B'Dover Miuna B'Misas Atchias La'Acher La'Echod Mimiuda Enu Sheyichta V'Yoymer Lanu Mishmoi Bezeh Haloshen Kvoid Malosai Loibir B'Dvarov Mazois Motza Achar Shenishkach. What did you find after it was forgotten? Imitzias Hadag. If it was that he found the dog, or he found that how to get out the dye. Until he explained to us what he found, then we will be mechuyev to listen to him and wear it. But if the fish was around, and also how to get the dye out was known, all the times, from the time that Tchelis stops from the Yidden, and still our Avos didn't wear it, it's like we have a Kabbalah, and that is a Messiah from our Avos, our fathers. So in other words, the Beis HaLevi is saying that the Ritziner Tcheles, which comes from the cuttlefish was a fish that Klal Yisrael always had. It was never something that was lost. We never lost the method. So therefore, what did the Ritziner... was he mechadish? Meaning you can't go ahead and say the cuttlefish, that's the source of tcheles, when Klal Yisrael always knew about it. Like, why did we lose it? So if we, all the years, we weren't using the cuttlefish, so that's a mesaira, that the cuttlefish is not the right source of tcheles. Now for the chilas in the murex, that's not true, because from the year 1453, there's a total stopping of dying with murex. Again, there were the Gezeris Rome, which we spoke about. That's why there was no usage of the Tchelis of the murex. We know from 1453 and on, it was totally gone from society. So there's no question from the Beis HaLevi on the murex, but there is a question from the Beis HaLevi on the cuttlefish. So when we come to weigh these two Gersois of what the Beis HaLevi said, we have to understand that when you take something that was said over ish mipi ish, that was an oral tradition for generations, it is impossible, as good as you are in getting the words straight and saying over the words as they're said, it's impossible to get everything down the way it was said originally. Because in the original version, you have to take into consideration the context that was said in, which that is not being transferred down. You have to take into consideration the tonality of the way it was said. That's also not being passed down. But when you're taking something which is written, something that's b'chsav, that's something that is meant to be taken and given over. All that was, the message is there in the chsav. That's the idea. The idea of chsav is just that, to take a concept and put it down in writing, and that's what it is. There's no tonality, there's no context that's left out of the chsav. Everything that's there is there. So it's definitely something to consider when weighing which is the correct girsa, that something that was written, and that was written in the times of the Beis HaLevi, it was dictated by the Beis HaLevi to be written down, that carries a lot of weight. Whereas something that was transferred down orally definitely is subject to change or not getting the exact context and tonality that it was said originally. Especially because this is something, the way that it's being said over from the Beis HaLevi is a very hard thing to understand. It's something which has no makar anywhere. We don't find any makar to such an idea that you need a mesira to identify things chafsas for mitzvahs. We don't find in Gemaras, in Midrashim, in Rishonim, in Achronim, we don't have any svara to explain such a thing. So to go ahead and say the Beis Halevi said such a funny thing without having any makar for it, it's something that's very hard to believe. And especially on top of that, when you have Gedolim who Mefurish held that it's not. They're Mefurish that you could bring back the Chilazon based on Simonim. Again, we had the Maril and all the Achreinim that went along with the Maril that we mentioned in the first year. We have that list over there. So it's something that's very hard to say without a makar and against Rishonim and Achreinim. That's something it's a very hard shikol to say. What's more mistaver is that there was a context that was missing. And in all likelihood, the Beis Halevi was not saying what he was saying if you were to prove that we found the Chilas in Avada, if you were to prove something, 100%, or 98%, it's mamish, kima police suffix, let's say. In such a case, the Beis Halevi wouldn't say that you need a Messiah because the idea is enough. It's like a Messiah. We have this concept of, said over by Ramesha, Negus Ramesha, regarding Chol of Yisrael, very famous Mechtav over there, that when you know something for a fact, when you know something that has a din ki'ilu, you saw it. So in all likelihood, the Beis Halevi was referring to something which we don't know. The point of the Redziner, his selling point was that we're talking about a Suffolk Deiraisa. Yes, he didn't have Rias to his cuttlefish. He never. Well, it wasn't bar, but he's still saying Chach. It's a Suffolk. It's a Suffolk Deiraisa. So in that, the Beis Halevi would be saying that just because you have a hashara, the efshad is it, but if you don't have a mesaira to be kaveya, that it's the right one. You're just saying maybe it's the right one. Possibly it's the right one. So in that we're not mechuyev to go with it. We could go with mesaira. But if we were to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that this is it, the proof is all there. And we know that this is the right one. So Navada, he would have never said such a thing. The Beis Halevi would never say that you need a Messiah. There's no reason for him to assume that he would say such a thing. That's my understanding. If we wanted to understand what could be, how could we find a Makom Tishtim, what the Beis Halevi said over, the way that the Briskers are saying it over, to the way that we have the Nusach that we have brought down by the Redziner. And Stam and Be'emes Mitzad Behamoin Am, what to take over, what to take out, how to come away from this Inyan. Avade, we will go with the Maril. If we have a Machloikis between the Maril and the way the Beis Halevi is being understood by the Briskers, Avada, the Machria, Yisar Hamoinam would definitely be the Maril, and that wouldn't be a Suffolk. And they had this, if you look in the in Rav Sternbach's Tshuvas in the beginning, in the beginning of the Rav Sternbach, he first writes about Mesaira, needing Mesaira, and somebody brought him a Maril. And he showed him the Maril, and then you see in the next Tshuva against the Murex, he leaves it out, the Messiah. We have a story which was printed with the Brisker Rav. This was said over by Moshe Sternbuch. I contacted his grandson to confirm that the story is true, and he told me he heard it from Moshe Sternbuch himself. And the story was like this. One day, Rabbi Sternbach went, one time he went, walked into the Brisker Rav, and he saw him sitting there learning with his oldest son of Beryl, and he's learning with him the Kunches HaTcheles of the Radzina Rebbe. Why? And he said, because he was choishish that maybe he's being mevatel a mitzvah. So therefore he sat, his mevayer, good the sugya to see if takeh the tcheles was found. So a clear story that the Brisker Rav himself held that tcheles, that if he held that, that you can't bring it back without Messiah, that that was set in stone.
He's out of the sugya.
What?
He's out of the sugya. He said he can check the sugya. Yeah.
But he said, because why? Shemu mevatel mitzvah. It was the said over, also the Brisker say over a pasuk. They want a darsh in a pasuk. As he said, I can't imagine they actually mean it as a drush. It's probably just an asmacht, if anything. I don't know what. But they basically say that it says, they quote it. If you look in the Chumash Agra, you'll see under the pasuk of L'dayreisam by Tzitzis, you see a Rishimas Tamidei Brisk. You'll see it says over there that why does it say L'dayreisam after Lavan but before Tcheles? That the mitzvah of Tzitzis was L'dayreisam and not Tcheles. So they say because Tzitzis, the Lavan, is L'dayreisam. And Tcheles is not L'dayreisam. So some people want to use that to go ahead and say some Mila Tcheles can't come back. So the Reisam Pshat, it was a mitzvah zmani, which never will come back again. Or you could say,
if it's going to come back because they have to have it for the Big Day Kohen Gadol.
Right, so I guess
the Amnit of the Kohen had it got the Machlekes.
So we have a Raya. Very good. So we have a raya against Lidar Eisen from the fact that anyway Tcheles needs to come back. Very good. Yeah. Right. So but we have an Orach Chaim, which basically says the same thing, except with one knetch. He doesn't learn Lidar Eisen means I can't come back. Lidar Eisen just means that it's b'li hefsek. That Lavan we always had, and Tcheles we didn't always have. So that's why the Deraisam was set on Lavan, because Lavan was always, every Dar had it, and Tcheles was not the Deraisam.
I mean, it's clear, it doesn't mean you're not saying
halacha. Right, it's clear you're not learning halacha. Right, about this, not halacha. You can't darshan. Yeah. Yeah, it's not halacha. I'm saying, no, you can't make up a new drasha from the Torah to go ahead and, you know, that's not in Shas or Bavli, Shami, anything. But see that. Right, it's a kasha from Maril anyways, because Maril says it could come back for Simon. Say that. Right. So, other questions? Well, Agav, what Rav Moshe Sternbuch's stance on the matter is right now, Rav Moshe Sternbuch in Tshuvas VaHanhagas writes that, he writes a couple, there's a couple of Tshuvas, they're anti-Tcheles, but now he's, I mean, I've spoken to his son, said that we could say it, that he is not the same anti as he was before. He doesn't have the same stance as before, being so anti-Tcheles. There's another Nakuda that I've heard being said, that not saying Mesaira, Halacha Mesaira, but if you don't have a Mesaira, you can't be 100% you're not missing something. So you can't say vaday vaday, because if you don't have a Messiah, how do you know you're not missing something? So it sounds to me like I asked the person, like, where's the makim to be missing? Like, what are you missing? Everything's there. There's no place to be missing. But maybe there's something that we don't know about bechlal that it's like, what are the chances of such a thing? Like, something that we're missing that we have no clue where. It's like, we have a puzzle. Everything's fitting. There's no room for another piece. But maybe there's another piece that we're missing because of Messiah. Fine, so I'll say a 0.01% chance. 0.1% chance. So 0.1, and then you'll say, maybe there's something in the sphere that we're missing that we don't know. But everything is clear. Okay, maybe. Fine. So take the 0.1% chance that we're missing something in the sphere. 0.1% chance, 0.00000001% chance that there's not the Murex. That's not the Murex. And you'll add them together and you'll get 0.1000001. You add up again. There's no makom mistafik. It's not called a suffix. And just a raya to it. It's coming from an emotion, which is people are interpreting as intuition. They feel like it's right. I was thinking something like that. They feel like it's a svara, but it's a feeling. It's not a svara. Sometimes people get confused. What's intuition and what's emotion? There's clearly an emotional thing. So a raya to that is the fact that, let's say we were to find a pair of tzitzis, and on the tzitzis was dyed tchelis. On the tzitzis was dyed with murex dye. Right? Would he be misopic then still? So that's, I asked him that. He said, no, that's already, you know, vaday. That's already vaday. So I said, yeah, but all your other, didn't maybe missing something, it didn't get solved. It only solved this one nakuda of that the murex is the correct source of tchelis. That's the only thing. So the only thing that changed was we eliminated the 0.00000001% chance. Yeah, so that was just one mistake that I've seen for a couple of people make. Another thing is my great grandfather, they never did it. And I'm saying I know better than them. Okay, I don't know what type of question that is. You're not saying you know better than them. They didn't have it. Klal Yisrael hasn't done it for generations. A similar question. It's like a emotional feeling of like, how could Klal Yisrael hasn't done it? This is not part of our Yiddishkeit, something like that. It's a mitzvah. It always was a mitzvah. We're not coming to mechadesh any new mitzvahs. There's a taina that people say, it's chodesh aser min ha-tayra. Chodesh aser min ha-tayra. So what does it mean, chodesh aser min ha-tayra? It's not chodesh. This is a mitzvah in one of the tayag mitzvahs. What does it mean, chodesh aser min ha-tayra? See, mechadesh the mitzvah to bring back to where tchelis again, that's chodesh. So what are you afraid of? The concept of chodesh aser min ha-tayra was something that was around when was instituted in Klal Yisrael by the Reform movement and the Haskalah movement, when there was a big sakana of changing the face of Klal Yisrael, of Yiddishkeit. So they needed, it was a necessary stance of that we can't change. We can't change. So mele there's a tanya chodesh aser min ha-tayra. Not to do any changes. Not a mitzvah, it's talking about the negative. It was talking about, you know, even if it wouldn't be negative, it would be something different. We don't do different things, because once you do different, so then who knows where it's going to lead you. But we have to understand that every generation has its nisayonis. And our nisayon is far, far from the generation of the Haskalah and the Reform. That's not our battle. The battles are changing with every new generation. And our battle is fakir. We went to the other extreme. We went cut off the science world and that whole world. We cut it off without any changes, to the point that our problem, something that we need to deal with, is that we're too rigid. Our hanhoga became mitzvahs anashim ulumada, that it became society. It's like everything is guided by what society does. That's the thing to do, because that's what society does. It's not coming from changes. The changes are fakert. Anybody who does any changes, we automatically write them off. So that's not an assignment. So what would happen, Lu Yitzir, if Klal Yisrael would start wearing tchelis? Is there a fear of like all of a sudden becoming maskilim, all of a sudden becoming fry? Of course not. There's nobody would dream of such a thing. Of course. So where's the problem of chodesh aser min ha-tayra? I wanted to add a note that somebody brought to my attention that when we spoke about Nignaz, we didn't mention the Medrash on Nignaz. You know, the Medrash says, it's a Medrash Rabbah, it's a Medrash Tanchuma. It says, Mitzvah lahavi lavan utcheles v'yaseh. It's a mitzvah for a person to take lavan and tcheles and make tzitzis out of it. Emasai when kishayia tcheles. When there will be tcheles. V'achshav ein lanu. And now, we don't have only lavan. Shatcheles nignas mitzvah belavan. Now that the tcheles is nignas, is hidden away, the mitzvah is to use lavan. So we see from the Medrash, ready? We don't know exactly when this Medrash was written. It was sometime in the, after 500, in that Tkufa, 600, 700. It's not clear exactly when it was written. But we see that Tchilas was Nignaz. Tchilas was not being used then. And it's saying, the Medrash states that the Tchilas was Nignaz. So people want to bring a reason from here to say that, you see that as Nignaz forever. Till Lasid Lavai, till Mashiach comes as Nignaz. I didn't bring it, this Medrash, because I didn't think you see anything in here more than you do in the Sifri. Because the Sifri, at least, says Lasid Lavai. Here it just says Nignaz Stam. But he mentioned that Lamai Sigaret, this is directly addressing not wearing Tchilas and connecting it with Nignaz. So I hear the point. And the answer is pretty simple, that Nignaz, it doesn't say anywhere in this Medrash, Nignaz for how long? And definitely, there's no question that Nignaz for 1,000 years is considered a Nignaz. It's hidden away. We found many Makayas, we found a number of Makayas. If you want, you can look in Levush Aaron. Levush Aaron, and one of his Aaros over there, brings down a number of Makayas where we find the usage of the word Nignaz to mean for a specific amount of time, not an indefinite forever amount of time. So that I didn't feel necessary to bring it down, but it's true, I should have spoken about it. So we'll mention it now. So now then we have some practical questions. There are questions of how many strings? Why don't you ever buy Tesef? Meaning we have three of Machlekes, we have the Rambam, we have the Ravid, we have Tesef. So each one, so if you're going to do like the Ravids, then you're going to be every Baal Tesis. If the halach is like the Rambam, you're every Baal Tigrav, the halach is like Tesis. If you do like Tesis and the halach is like the Ravid or Rambam, you're every Baal Tesis. If you do like the Rambam and the halach is like the Ravid or Tesis, you're every Baal Tigrav. So, how do you do it? You're stuck. We're stuck. What do we do? So I say, go to ask your Rav. Very simple. I'm saying, you never had a Shaila in halacha, what to do? Ask your Rav. Now, the Rabbanim that I spoke to, every single one of them, from the Rabbanim that I spoke to, in the standard Ashkenazi, what? The Klol Yairo of the standard Ashkenazi Mahalach is to go with Tesis. Why? Now again, if the Zilberman go with the Gra, they have the Mahalach, the Gra, at least in Nister, seems to go with Shitas Haravid. So they follow the Gra and everything, so that's why they go with Shitas Haravid. The Mekubalim go with Shitas Harambam, because in the Sifrei Soid seem to be most mashma like the Rambam. In terms of the standard Halacha Mahalach, that there's no reason at all to go with the Rambam or the Ravid for several reasons. Number one, there are 23 Rishonim that go with Shitas Tesis. There are three that go with the Ravid. I believe three or four that go with the Ravid. And the Rambam is Bikaron at Das Yachid. And the Rishonim, I heard some Rishonim, somebody say that he's more of a Chatzi Sfaradi. He was saying that all the Rishonim that go with Tesis are all the Ashkenazi, the same base Medrash. It's not true, but Chlal, just to list some of the Rishonim that go with Shita Tesis, there's Rabbeinu Gershom, Rashi, Tesis, Rabbeinu Tam, the Ri and Rabbeinu Tam, both, the Rosh, the Tor, the Rabbeinu Ruchim, the Iter, the Smag, Smak, the Eshkol, the Ritva, the Ran, Mashmois and the Ran, the Rajba, they all go with Shitas Tesis. They do four and four. Means do two, four out of eight strings are blue, four out of eight are white. The next reason is that the Shulchan Aruch, when he's talking about Gardumim, also seems to go with Shitas Tesis, which is also 4 and 4. Again, if you're Ashkenazi, So then you follow, we follow the Mahalach of the Balei HaTosfos. That's the way the Rambam set up the Kol Yehira, is the Ashkenazim follow the Balei HaTosfos. The Shulchan Aruch, the Sfadim goes Shulchan Aruch, which goes according to Rav Rishayim, which in this case also Rav Rishayim will go with Shita Tosfos, because he picks the Rif, Rambam, and Rush, and he goes with the Rav. In this case, the Rif doesn't talk, and when the Rif doesn't talk, he usually shtels through the Rajba and the other Rishayim. And in this case, the Rishayim would go towards Tosfos. And besides for that, the Paiskim, the Paiskim, and first, he just opened up a Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah passes in three places, like Tosfos. The Taz goes that way, the Machatz HaShekel goes that way, the Berurah Shulchan Aruch HaRav goes that way, all go with Tosfos. The Gron Shulchan Aruch and the Biur HaGra is Shtark Mashma, that halach is like Tosfos. What? It's basically Mefurish. It's basically Mefurish.
What are you saying? The woman is like
the Gro? So the Nister. In Nister, the Gro and Nister said in a number of places go with the Ravid. At least they want to say that maybe it's just the Talmidim that wrote up Bishmai. Yeah, there's raid about it. There's a sefer out there that speaks about, goes through Shitas HaGra, you know, tries to figure out what it is. So the kids, there's no reason for a regular Ashkenazi person to go anything other than Tosfos, and that's the way all the Paiskim, the Gdele Paiskim, even if they wear or don't wear Tcheles, they all agree that the Mahalat, from what, again, from the people who've looked into it and the people who've asked on it, or I've spoken to, all say that the Mahalat is to wear like Tosfos. So to go ahead and say, what do you do? So they have an answer. What color does Tcheles need to be? Does Tcheles need to be a specific color? So again, color means a range from it could be from purple all the way till green. Right? If you're dying with a murex, it could be anywhere from purple, from violet to green. Now, again, we know from the Gemara that it has to be blue. So, I mean, we don't know that it has to be blue as opposed to violet. We don't know what goes into the category of blue. So the Gemara is not mechalak, so you could say that anything under the category of blue would be included in tcheles. What's included in the category of blue? It could be violet, it's also included. Again, tcheles is a dye, it's not a color. So the dye, so the Rav Shem Shlomo Hirsch speaks about the colors. He says that the color tcheles incorporates blue and violet. It's the whole lower end of the spectrum of the rainbow. Now he himself says that he calls tcheles, he calls it himmelbloy, which is sky blue. So, but he does say that, he also says that tcheles is a range. The color of tcheles is referred to a range between blue and violet. So yeah, so there's no, now if you want, you could be very safe. You could just go with kala ilan, the indigo blue, and then you know you got it right. There's no question. You could go with regular blue, or indigo blue, and you have it. Does it need to be a particular shade of blue? Meaning that when you dye with a dye, it depends on the level of concentration of the dye, how deep it's going to be. Again, this is not talking about a color. What color? It's talking about a shade. It's not talking about you. It's talking about a shade. Shade is, it could be deep, deep blue or light, light blue, depending on the concentration of the dye. So does it have to be a specific shade? So now, again, we're not talking about, tcheles is a color. Is it tight? Tcheles is a dye, it's not a color. So so pashtus, the stam would be, of course not. Why? The pashtus would be that why should there be a specific, unless we find a makar anywhere to say that it needs to be a specific shade, why would we assume that it needs to be a specific shade? For example, I'll give you. What?
Also could be lighter and darker?
Yes, it could. Yes, it could. It could range anywhere from like almost black. It's in the top right corner, the wheel in the top right, top left corner? Bottom right? All the way in the bottom right?
The moon stays on unless you turn that off.
Okay, so bottom right, got it. Where are we up to?
Indigo could be.
Oh, yeah, indigo could be anything from very, very light to very, very dark. Okay, so now, I'm going to ask you a question. does a chut of telas shani need to be a specific shade of red? Right? If somebody dies with telas shani, kermes, it could be different degrees of depth of red. I mean, the color is going to be red. Okay? The color is going to be telas shani. So does it need to be a certain shade? So would you say, why is it, we don't find any makar that telas shani needs to be a specific shade of red. Red is red. If you dip it in and it comes out a deeper tone of red, a darker shade of red, we say it. If it comes out a lighter shade of red, we say it. But it's red, it's the same color, exactly the same color. So the stama is that, of course, it doesn't need to have a specific shape. When the Gemara wants something, the Gemara can say it. If there's a specific halacha that needs to be a certain shade, then it would say it. The same way by Negoim, by Maris of Dam, it needs to be a certain type of... Over there, it's talking about colors even. It's not even talking about shades. It's talking about colors. So colors, there's more of a makom to be need a specific color than to need a specific shade, where the shade is exactly the same color. It's just a little bit more deep, a little bit more shallow. If you're not happy with that, the Radvaz says that it goes in the Rambam, and he says that he learns that tcheles could be a darker shade of tcheles, it could be a lighter shade of tcheles, different shades, and they're both kosher. Now, there's another raya to this, was Rabbi Cheskel Taporovitz brought, that lo nitna ter l'malachi asharis, that when you die with the murex dye, it's impossible to get a specific shade. You can't get a certain shade. Every murex is going to be different based on the different levels of dye, of indigo in the dye. So based on every chilazin is going to give a different shade of color. So how could HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'inatel l'machal yashar, especially if you're talking about a mare dam, so he's not doing anything. I'm looking at a mare, and I look at it, and I could tell, the Torah is telling me, look at it and try to determine which color it is. See, and very, very fine-tuned which color it is. But if we're talking about something which you're making, the Torah is saying, go make it. How are you supposed to make it? You're supposed to get giving you, make a specific shade. I can't do it. LMI, what are you supposed to do? Make 90 batches and then throw out 85 of them because it didn't come out that shade? And if that's the case, then for sure the Chazal would need to tell us which shade, because then all the people who are making tcheles would not want to get rid of their schera, so they wouldn't throw it out. So then the Chacham would have to know which shade it is exactly to be able to determine whether it's kosher or not kosher. And Chazal is missing this crucial piece of information. But again, if you're not happy with all those things, so you have a very good etzah, get a middle shade, and then you're safe. I'm saying it's like basically when you go for an esrog, right? So you have to take an esrog, right? We're talking about, this is the right tcheles, yeah? You know that you're mechoyev to wear it. So what do you, just like an esrog, you need to take an esrog on sukkahs, yeah? So what do you do? You need a miyuchas esrog. So do the best that you can. You get a chazanish, you get a temani.